Yeah, the boardrooms.
Board of the Orange County Water District order. As always, we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will ask Director Green to lead us in the pledge this morning.
The United States of America, and to the Republic, which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Can you have a photo? Will you call the roll, please?
Roll call. Director Amezcua?
Present.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Jung? Director Jung is participating as a member of the public this evening. Director Meeks?
Here.
Director Nguyen? Director Sheldon?
Here.
Director Tran? Director Wygant?
Here.
Director Yeo? Do have a quorum with six directors present.
And Mr. President, if I may, please pardon me. I am supposed to be in chambers. I'm at a published location that I'm usually at, but not there. So please forgive me. My schedule got a little wonky today.
No problem, sir. All is forgiven.
So just to be clear, Director Jung is not at the notice remote location?
No, I am at the where I usually am, which is City Hall, but I was supposed to be in chamber. So,
okay, but you're at the on the agenda. You're at that address.
No, he's participating as a member of the public.
He's not on the agenda at that address.
Yeah, I'm just...
There's no Fullerton address on the agenda base. So
yes, thank you.
Everything's fine.
Okay.
So, but he's a member of the public, not voting this evening. So, Mr. General Manager, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are not, but I would like to make two changes to the agenda. The first is to pull our closed session, and we're going to reschedule that for August 20th. And then the second item on the consent calendar, to the recommendation, I would like to add the words Director Green to, and then cast ballot for the So,
yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she'll be at the AUKUS conference.
You're not doing the conference right now, but I will be.
Yes. Okay. With those, so now it's time for visitor participation. Anybody from the public like to address the board at this time? Seeing none. Now we'll go to the consent calendar, which consists of items 1 through 7. Number 2 has a slight modification, as the general manager discussed. What is the pleasure of the board?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion, a second.
With the
change to number 2?
Yes, that's correct.
Madam Clerk, will you call the roll?
Roll call. Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Nguyen, Jung, Tran, and Yeo absent.
Great. That brings us to item number 8, which is the future of the Prado Wetlands. Sounds exciting.
Yes, Mr. President, our Director of Natural Resources, Cheryl Parsons, will give this presentation.
Spoilers. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me. I'm here today to present about the future of the Prado Wetlands. You may recall our Executive Director of Planning and Natural Resources, Lisa Haney, a few months ago, came and gave a rough plan for the future of the Prado Wetlands. We have taken the time since that presentation to refine our efforts, which is what you're going to be seeing today. So, for some quick context, the Prado Constructed Wetlands are a series of 45 treatment ponds owned and operated by OCWD and located in Corona out in Riverside County. They were originally built as duck hunting ponds, but were converted in the 1990s to nitrogen treatment ponds to remove nitrogen from the Santa Ana River before that water is recharged downstream of Prado Dam here in Orange County. Over the years, we've discovered the way to optimize that nitrogen removal is to maintain those ponds at a ratio of about 50% open water and 50% vegetation. But because wetland vegetation grows so quickly, every single year, our operations crew has to go out and clear at least a third of the ponds completely from vegetation that has grown in. And they are limited by this very tight window of opportunity where they can't start work until the end of the nesting season, which can go till September 15th in some years, and by the beginning of the rainy season, which can start as early as October. So this large maintenance commitment needs to take place in this very narrow window of opportunity, which results in an all-hands-on-deck approach to maintenance in the fall. Usually, Prado is staffed by just two operators and one supervisor, but when this huge vegetation clearing is going on, we end up having to pull five operators down from Anaheim, up from Anaheim, and also rent a lot of extra equipment and bring that up as well. So all these resources are being pulled from doing all the recharge work down in Anaheim, which can lead to our operations staff not being able to really optimize that recharge work as well as they could be, which could potentially be resulting in loss of water out to the ocean. However, if the Prado maintenance demands were increased, we could pull that operations staff back down to Anaheim and further refine those recharge operations, resulting in millions of dollars worth of additional water recharged.
Yeah, Mr. President, I'd just like to emphasize this slide. This is the most important slide of the presentation, and we really are kind of shooting ourselves in the foot when we take our recharge people in August and September and divert them up to Prado to reduce the vegetation in the Prado wetlands. All of our recharge people, we really need them to stay in Anaheim and get the Anaheim recharge facilities cleaned and prepped and ready for the upcoming winter. If Ben Smith was here, and Ben is in charge of the recharge operations, Ben would tell you that frequently he does not get everything done in the summer that he needs to get done to be ready for the winter season. So we really want to keep our recharge people in Anaheim working on the recharge facilities, making sure our recharge facilities are ready for the winter season and working at 100% efficiency and not diverting those people up to Prado every August and September.
And we do have the opportunity to reduce that maintenance demand. That stems from the fact that nitrogen loads in the Santa Ana River have significantly declined over the past three decades, mainly due to the closure of local dairies and improvements in upstream water recycling. In fact, recent modeling has shown that we don't need to operate the wetlands at all as nitrogen treatment standard treatment ponds, and we would still meet nitrogen water quality standards downstream. So this presents an opportunity for us to rethink how we want to operate and maintain the wetlands so that we can have that reduced maintenance demand, move those operators down to Anaheim, but still preserve the site's economic uses and educational and research values. However, even though we don't need to maintain the wetlands to treat for nitrogen, the wetlands do require maintenance to maintain the duck hunting concession that is on site. So we do have a lessee who operates a duck hunting concession. And while we're eager to reduce our operational burden, we're very mindful of their needs as well. So our solution to this is to have the lessee take on the maintenance of the north, south, and west ponds themselves. So this would start in 2026. They would rent whatever equipment they need to maintain those three sets of ponds, north, south, and west, in a way that meets their hunting needs. This would require them to submit their plans in writing to OCWD for approval, and they would also be under biological oversight of the Natural Resources Department's biologists to ensure that they are their actions are in line with our environmental permits. The maintenance of any access roads and any of the water infrastructure and repairs that are needed, those would still be conducted by OCWD staff. But this would, again, free up a lot of the operators to go down and get that work done in Anaheim. For the East ponds, OCWD will maintain operation and maintenance of those ponds, but we're looking to transition them into away from nitrogen treatment and into a design that could support even further maintenance decreases and help make the Prado wetlands a more engaging and comfortable experience for our tour visitors who go out.
Does that mean decrease the wetlands?
Yeah, so it's going to be one of our options is to look at how we want to design maybe the shape of the wetlands, how much are out there so that they don't require such a large maintenance time, which will be in a few slides. When we think about how we want to redesign these East ponds, there are three goals. Our first is, again, to further decrease that maintenance needs. I've already mentioned, you know, the North, South, and West ponds, that's going to help us out a lot. But we want to look at a way to change how these East ponds maybe are shaped and how they operate so we can further decrease that need. Our second goal is to provide space for water conservation research. That's meaning research that could help us to support our efforts at holding water behind Prado Dam and provide evidence to our regulatory agencies on how our operations have a minimal environmental impact. And then third is to work with public affairs to expand our education and interpretive infrastructure out of the site to, again, improve the touring capabilities of Prado. And I'll dive into each of these in their own separate slides. So first, looking at how to further decrease the maintenance. Our plan for that is to redesign the wetlands by changing the shape and the depth of these ponds so that we can limit vegetation growth. So if we make the slopes steeper, we make the ponds deeper themselves, we can limit where vegetation can grow. We can make it too deep for wetland vegetation to take over the entire ponds. And that would limit it to, as in this example here, just a ring of vegetation around the pond, which would require significantly less vegetation maintenance there, while still maintaining kind of this aesthetic look of what a traditional wetland looks like. So again, this would, you know, free up our operations staff to spend more time in OC getting that water into the ground. In terms of water conservation research, we would like to renew our partnership with UCI in their Masters of Conservation and Restoration Science capstone program. So currently, they just finished the first year of their program of the project, and this will be a multi-year project. And they were studying the effects of inundation on riparian habitat, which we were using to inform our management of water levels behind Prado. So they were looking at how long can riparian plants be flooded without dying. Water storage behind Prado provides 40 to 45% of our water supply. But to be able to do that, we need to be able to show to our regulatory agencies that we aren't harming the environment and the sensitive species that live out there. And this research plays a key role in providing that evidence to the regulatory agencies and showing that we have that minimal environmental impact. And third, improving the educational and interpretive infrastructure. So we'll work with our public affairs team to expand the education and interpretive infrastructure out there at Prado. So right now, if you go out to Prado, if we have a large group like our groundwater adventure tour, we don't really have space or areas for these large groups to sit, especially if they want to be seated in a shaded area. So our seating now is limited to maybe three picnic tables that are a little worse for wear, and a couple of benches. And our shade structure, it, you know, takes a lot of damage during high wind events and needs to be repaired every year. Additionally, if we have any presentations or videos we want to show, we're limited to a small conference room that can max maybe hold 12 people in it, or wheeling out a really small TV that, again, maybe only a handful of people around it can see. In terms of amenities out there, we have one porta potty or the staff bathroom. So sometimes we have large groups in there, you know, filing into the office to use the amenities. And drinking water is limited to just one water cooler in the staff break room. Our educational features, they are, we'll say, low budget. They're limited to just a couple of labels on our taxidermy displays or in our native plant garden, and some signs that have been made by our interns that we drag out and just kind of hold up as we're presenting to the groups outside. So our facilities really could use an update in order to accommodate these larger groups like the Groundwater Adventure Tour, which will make it easier for any of our stakeholders to come out and see how what OCWD is doing firsthand out there, and provide a forum to brag about, you know, our environmental stewardship efforts and what the natural resources team is doing. Because we've got a great story about how we've managed to provide safe and clean drinking water for millions of people without harming the environment. We just need a great space to tell that story. So our next steps for each of these goals, for our first goal of decreasing OCWD maintenance need, we have that plan of redesigning the ponds. Our plan is to actually hold off for now and reassess that in a year after we have looked at how maintaining the north, west, and south ponds has gone. We don't want to rush into this if, you know, it turns out that our modeling estimates weren't perfect, or there's some kind of unforeseen circumstance that comes up from that. It also gives us time to explore opportunities for grant money to help pay for that reconstruction of those wetlands. So for our first goal, our next step is to hold for now. For number two, providing the space for water conservation research, we'll continue our research program with UCI. We have a new group of students who are going to come in and add to that water conservation research project. And we'll commit to the ponds in yellow and blue on here are the water research conservation research ponds. So we'll commit to not making any changes to those in that redesign that we're thinking of. So we'll just keep them dedicated to research. So number one, no action needed. Number two, we're just going to keep things moving with the same program. And number three is where we're going to have an ask tonight. And that is our expansion of education and interpretive infrastructure. Our plan for that is we would like to engage a consultant to come up with the conceptual design for these enhancements. And for that, we have developed a scope of work, which was provided in the packet this evening, to ask for an architectural consultant to design the elements that would enhance the educational and interpretive infrastructure at Prado Wetlands and the field office, number one. So that would look like improving the signage around the office and the wetlands to talk about the history of the wetlands as nitrogen treatment wetlands, talk about the groundwater recharge process and the role Prado Dam plays in it. We could talk about things like removing Arundo and how that helps our water supply and all the work that we've done with the Lee Spells Vireo planting habitat around Prado. This would also include possible improvements to our taxidermy displays, making those more engaging, and the native plant garden as well. The second item on the scope of work is to improve visitor experience by enhancing seating, providing shading, restrooms, and water stations to improve comfort and safety too. It's hot out there. We need somewhere to get our visitors water and shade when they're out there. This is just looking at design. So we would like them to provide us a menu of options that shows us estimated costs so that later we can look for grant funding to help pay for those improvements as well. Our estimated design cost is between $60,000 and $100,000. And then for implementation and construction, as I said, we'll look for grant funding as available. That brings us to our recommendations for tonight, which are first to discontinue the use of the north, south, and west ponds as treatment ponds. And two, to issue an RFP for a consultant to develop a conceptual design plan or enhancements that support and expand the site's touring capabilities. So with that, I will pause and take any questions.
Great. Director Wygant has a question.
Yeah, on the slide, that was for the one that we're going to take no action on, but it was number one.
This guy.
So when you're going to dig out, you know, a section of that, do we think there's sand under there that might be beneficial to some of our downstream?
Yeah, we'll have to get that analyzed to see what the quality will be. There is a good chance that it could be sand because that's what's coming down from the river. There's probably a lot of kind of more wetland type soils in there as well. Like silt stuff. So we would have to analyze that as we look at it. But we thought about looking at sediment match and putting it on there too and seeing if we could find somewhere to get rid of that.
So I think if that's something we are doing in the future, that's going to attract a lot of interest to come out and tour the site, which would then benefit item number three, which would be approved facilities for those folks coming out to learn a little bit more about what we have.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Move the recommended action.
I have a question. Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Sorry, I couldn't find my raise hand button. So here's my hand. So when we make the ponds deeper and to limit the vegetation growth, Then doesn't that reduce their environmental benefits because the birds nest in the wetland, in the grassy area, the growth?
We'll still have the wetland vegetation along the edge there. And then it actually will provide kind of more benefits from other species like our southwestern pond turtles that are out there. The birds that are nesting in there are not particularly threatened species. So the least-spells vireo doesn't nest in the wetland vegetation. It would mostly be like tricolored blackbirds that are in there, marsh wrens, birds that don't have such stringent protections. So they'll still have plenty of habitat there, but we don't need to worry about affecting the more threatened species.
Okay, and then my other question, when we make them deeper, do we have the water capacity? Are we taking water from our discharge basins downstream to hold it up here in a less useful area potentially? Because these are deeper and now we're going to retain more water upstream.
I think we'd have to look into the engineering aspect of that, which is going to be part of why we're holding off the implementation until we can do a further study for that. It would be like upstream water coming through. We'd have to look at the flow rates and how deep we could make them and still have them flow out at a rate that's desirable for us.
Yeah, I mean, on a wet year, it wouldn't matter. We have plenty of
Yeah.
water, but on a dry year, we may need the water downstream. So, okay, that's something you'll continue to look at. Those are all my questions.
Dr. Sheldon has his hand raised.
Dr. Sheldon, please.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. And a couple of questions. I did look through the staff report, and was there an estimated budget on the consultant that staff would like to hire?
Yeah, we have an estimated cost of 60 to 100,000.
Okay. And how, speaking of our staff, how will this future visitor center be staffed?
So it wouldn't be open to the public at all times. It would really just be to help tours that are coming through. So we would use, for larger tours, maybe we could pull in some people from public affairs or the natural resources staff, depending on their availability. It's not nesting season and they're out looking for birds.
Okay, how often do we have tours that would use the enhanced visitor center currently?
For in terms of school groups, we probably have like three to four, maybe in a busy year, five or six different school groups that'll come through. And then we'll have larger groups like different agencies that come by and want a tour, maybe 5 to 6 times a year. And then our groundwater adventure tour, which is once a year and hundreds of people.
So it's sounding like about 10 tours per year. It's about
Yeah.
$10,000 a tour for this enhancement. And it feels to me that, in my experience, that we're going to hear back from our professional staff asking for a staff person to be there full time. That's, to me, just inevitable to occur. So I'm concerned about that, and I think this doesn't seem to be completely necessary in light of the really small amount of people we have going through there. And what we have is actually pretty interesting already, and it's pretty just organic looking the way it is without being too professional. And sometimes we overdo it with a visitor center, and I think this is just very genuine and original and organic looking. Because it is what it is. Spending this money and getting more folks, it's going to attract more folks potentially, and then we're going to need a staff and another staff, and then greater public facilities for restrooms and this and that. And so I just wonder, in light of how many people we really have going through, is this really necessary?
Director Sheldon, I would commit to the board that we will not come back to the board and ask for more staff. We do think we have a great story to tell with all the natural resources work we have done, and we would promote that work and do so. We do anticipate having more tours back there. Maybe we would go from 10 to 20 a year or something like that, and we think we can handle that with the existing staffing back there. You do have my word.
I'm sorry, John. I don't know. I know you're. I don't want to go into. My tenure here is always limited. I can't make a promise for as long as I'll be there. Who knows how long I'll be on this board, and who knows how long you'll be general manager, and someone else will be coming up and asking for this amount of money. So I appreciate that commitment, John or Mr. Kennedy, but I just still feel that this is unnecessary. I truly do. And I think I've seen a lot of things grow over time with this district, and I'm just, again, voicing a concern. I don't think this goes toward our core function of water supply. It's great, it's educational, but I don't necessarily think we're going to be expending a lot more money on it. And I, we think we just have to, as best we can, keep the handle on expenses. So I'm not in support of this concept. I'd like to bifurcate out the two items you have placed together as A and B.
Richard Green.
I think the reason we're doing this, though, is that we want to bring our staff members back to field headquarters so that they can do their jobs, so that we do reclaim more water. So I'm not sure. Is it that you're objecting to the design of a site so that people could take tours and be more comfortable?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Thank you, Director Green. I think these two items are really separate. I think they're different. So I support, I guess it's A, and B is the one that I expressed concerns with.
And here to shut up, we could certainly take a separate vote on each item. In evaluating this, it seems to me that what staff is trying to accomplish is they want to develop some static displays on site so that when they bring guests, visitors out to the facility, they have some tools to tell the story in terms of what it is we're doing out there. We have, 1,500 acres of property out there? And I think that's the intention of it, that we can receive people and tell the story of what we're doing with all their money out there.
I think the intentions are great. I applaud the intentions. That's not my comment. I agree with you. If it's 100,000 to design it, I wonder what it is to implement it and maintain it. So I think we've done a great job for the 20 years that I've been here telling the story. But it's just, I'm one of 10. Maybe I don't want to hold this up if this is going to go through with 9 votes. I really don't want to frustrate I don't want to frustrate my other directors, but I just don't think it's something that we need to be doing now. That's how I feel about it.
I'll make a motion for that.
Mr. Chair, I have my hand up to speak.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes to me or yes to Director Green?
Yes to you, Madam Mayor. Go ahead and you may speak.
I don't know. Can you see my hand up? I'm not quite sure.
No, we're not on that. We're not on that screen. So.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to speak. So I'm in support of this issue, and let me just in the brief time I've been here. But Steph, can you go back? I think the director Sheldon, and correct me if I'm wrong, asked a question of how many visitors. So I think he said 10, but you had indicated there were more than 10 visitors. How many people roughly come out and visit that site?
So our core groups for classes generally are.
I'm sorry. Can you speak louder? It's hard
oh,
to hear.
Oh yeah. Sorry. The microphone is a little far. The tour groups for classes are about 30-ish students. We usually have pretty large groups that come out. 30 times 5. I'm gonna try to do some mental math.
I got it.
50.
Yeah, I got it.
And then the agency groups can vary. I think the maximum we'll see was 14. And those are about 5 times a year as well. And then adding in the groundwater adventure tour, which I would ask Gina for a more accurate number.
Was that 100?
About 100.
So maybe in the area of 300 people in total. Right now with what we're doing.
And what you're asking for tonight is approval for the go back to the request. So the discontinued use of the north, south, and west ponds, and then the RFP. So you're basically just asking for the RFP to be approved, and the cost for the RFP for the consultant would only be between $60,000 to $100,000. So we don't know if it would be 100, it could be 60, it could be 70, but there's no actual set cost yet, correct?
Yes, and then we would come back to the board with that RFP for approval to move forward.
Correct, and you're asking to expand the site's touring capabilities, which is great because we do have a wonderful story to tell. And that's why I'll support this item, and that's why one of my reasons is that, you know, I can't say I'm new anymore, but I've been sitting here just a few years. I know some people have been here a really long time, and when you start to talk about water in the community, people are very interested. And so if we can get more people to go out there and to see the great work that everybody is doing, I think that's a plus for us. And it's also great for the community. So if you look at 60 to 100,000, that's just for the RFP. So it has to come back to the board for us to make a decision on whether we want to move ahead with any other plans. They may say, you know, it's going to cost you $2 million. This board may say no, because to put in a bathroom and, you know, awnings and this and that, you know, this board may say no. They may come back and say it's, you know, $500,000. I don't know. This board may say yes. At this point, I'm supporting it because, one, I think your presentation was very good, so thank you. But also, I really want to encourage people to come out and see what OCWD does. I mean, again, it's fantastic work, and it's kind of like the hidden gem. And we should be talking about it and getting more people out there to see the work that we do. And I know you work with UCI, and maybe there's other schools that you can work with. So I am definitely going to support this. And I have not been on the board, you know, 15, 20 years, but we definitely need to continue telling our story and letting people come and see. So that's just my opinion. So thank
Is
you.
Is that a second?
I'll second.
Yes. Point of clarification, Mr. President, can I just clarify something, if I may?
Yeah, and after Mr. Schell, Director Meeks is
had her. Oh, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to clarify it as something else.
I mean, Director Amezcua said a lot of, you know, what I feel too, is that it's important to tell our story. I will say, I don't think we tell our story as well as we could, especially to the kids coming through the school districts and everything. My daughter went through the school district very close to Prado Dam, and she never went on a field trip out here. She never learned about this water system. And I think it's just so important as we move forward, to grow that educational opportunity so people know what we do, know where the water comes from, know how their actions impact it. So I think it will help us in the long run. I will support it.
Okay. Steve, if you want to address this further.
Just quickly, yeah. If I misspoke and said 10 people, I may have done that. I intended to say 10 groups. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I knew there was more than 10 people. There was 10 groups that went through. There were maybe 11 groups. That was my earlier point. And
okay.
I don't want to tie this up because I think there's only 6 people voting right now. So I will support the motion, or I will support the item at this point, because there probably are additional directors that would, but they're not here at this moment, so I will be supporting the item.
Okay, and before we vote, I noticed we have the Honorable Fred Bachmiller online with his hand up, and I was going to ask Director Bachmiller if he would like to provide any testimony.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the board, now, just this recalls the time back when there was the Dairy Task Force, and we went out to the Inland Empire and talked to everyone about the horrors of nitrogen pollution. And with great fanfare, we created these created wetlands, and now we have come full circle. The wetlands are going away. I just thought I'd throw that little piece of history out there. It was very interesting. And if we do develop a visitor center, I think we should tell the success story of something that we built, used, and have now no longer using. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, Mr. Bachmiller. And lastly, just for the board members that haven't been to the facility, What we have out there is a double wide trailer that our staff is stationed in, and there's not much else to it. There's an equipment yard that used to be staffed with vicious dogs in the at night to protect our equipment. I don't think we do that anymore, though. But true story. And I just think that this will provide an opportunity for staff to have some static displays and things in which to properly receive guests so we can tell our story. So with that.
And I'll just add to that as well. We did a tour with the leadership of San Clemente. We had the mayor, we had city manager, we had a couple other staff members. It took us about 15 minutes for everyone to go to the bathroom just in order to finish that part of it so we could go on the tour and see the sand. So there are some dated facilities out there.
There you go. So we have a motion and a second. We'll take up, based on Director Sheldon's testimony, we'll take up both items together. And Madam Clerk, if you'll call the roll.
Roll call, Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Wigand?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with six yes votes, with Directors Jung, Nguyen, Tran, and Yeo absent.
Great, thank you. Now is the time for informational updates. Number nine is the SAPA update. The SAPA meeting was very interesting. They provided an update on our Arundo removal efforts, something I had asked for, and they provided a comprehensive presentation on the use of glyphosate, which they use extensively. And this is something that myself and others have expressed some concern about over the years. It turns out that they have not really developed or identified another method for Arundo removal that is cost effective. So at next month's meeting, I'll be faced with voting up or down on the next phase of our Arundo removal efforts, and look forward to receiving people's input on that. And then just another little side matter, Jeff Mosher, our general manager, resigned and his resignation was accepted. Little small matter. And Perrin Williams, who is acting as the interim general manager, is still the general manager out there. Going forward, I believe a search will go underway to find a permanent general manager. Karen was the CFO, and she stepped into the general manager role to kind of help out. And I think she still intends to retire. So, yeah, fun-filled meeting. That brings us to item number 10, which is a committee conference meeting up for meeting reports. The GWS Steering Committee, Chair Green. Right. Retirement Committee, Chair Wigand.
Yes, we met on July 22nd in a robust meeting that had voted on our items tonight.
Joint planning, that was myself, and we did conduct the joint planning meeting, and I was online for that meeting, as I recall. Yeah, I was online, and it was all just informational items. There was no decisions made, and the agenda's in the packet. The property manager meeting, Chair Sheldon.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We had a very educational and informational meeting at our property meeting, and that information can be found in the packet.
Great. Are there any reports on committees, conferences, meetings attended at district expense? Anybody would like to report on them? Hearing none. Verbal reports, President's report. I have no report this evening other than I'm in a severe pain as I broke a bone in my foot, but which is why I'm kind of underdressed tonight, but sorry about that. The general manager's report.
Nothing to report.
Any director's reports?
Just a question. Do you need your boot back?
No, sir. I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, you got a new one. Thank you. Okay. I have the old one.
Great.
Nothing to report.
Great. Okay. General counsel report.
Thank you, President Bilodeau. Good news is the closed session, I believe, has been pulled for tonight, and I have no further report.
Great, thank you. With that, then, this meeting will be adjourned. Mm-hmm.